the pastor had surgery this week, and he went through it okay. He thought he'd be back, but that was wishful thinking, and he needed a little bit more rest. He'll be back tomorrow, so he'll be in the office tomorrow. If you need to visit with him tomorrow, he'll be here. But he's given me the opportunity to come and preach the word to you. Usually I have a little bit more time to prepare than what I did, but still I keep going back to the scriptures where it says, always be prepared. Always be ready to give an account of the hope that's in you. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to give an account of the hope that's in us. I know that we have Advent here. We have the coming of Christ. We're celebrating. And so many of you might think that this message is about the Advent of Christ. No, it's not. This message is about your walk with Christ. And I finally finished this message about 2 o'clock this morning. So you got to forgive me if I come a stumble and trip over myself this morning. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but God's in control, and He has given me the power to get up here and be able to preach this word. Without Him, I can't do it. I can't even understand the word. I can't do nothing. So I want to stop and just take a minute. Let's pray, and we'll open in prayer, and then we'll get started. Bow your heads with me. Oh, precious God, gracious God, the giver of all life, the breath that I am taking right now belongs to You. The path that I am on belongs to You. You have given me life. You have given me the Holy Spirit to be able to understand You, be able to hear the call that You have called me. And You have called us each out of the darkness of this world. The sin and the pain, You have called us out of that. That we might assemble together as believers in Jesus Christ and come and pronounce Your name holy. Worship You. For You are the giver of life. Father, we pray for our brother Gary, Lord, as he recuperates. Father, we thank You for the prayers that You've answered us through his surgery. But we lift him up to You right now, Lord, that You continue to heal his body. Father, we also at this time, we just want to stop and remember the gift that You've given us through Your Son. The whole world has stopped and looked towards You. The whole world recognizes You. Whether they follow You or not, they know who You are. And for us as Your followers, as Your children, Lord, we have come here to worship You this morning. So, Father, as we begin to hear this message, Lord, we ask that You would open our hearts with the Holy Spirit and that Your love would be poured out upon us and that we would have understanding and discernment of Your word. And we thank You for the opportunity to come into Your house and to worship You. And all God's children said, amen. If you open your Bibles up, you'll notice you might as well not even look at your bulletin because it doesn't have anything to do today. So open your Bibles up to 1 Peter and chapter 2. And we're going to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But before we do that, I want us to stop and take a minute. And I want to open with Psalms. I'm going to read Psalms 34. This is a special psalm for me. It has a lot of meaning. So if you would like to listen, that'd be fine. But listen to the words of King David. And these should be our words. And I'm starting in Psalms 34, verse 1, and I'll read the whole psalm, and I'll be quick about it, and then we'll move on. And it starts like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall be continually in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Young lions suffer and want hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and he hears, and his ears are towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory from them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I can't hardly keep from crying when I read this. Excuse me. Many are the afflicted of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Afflicted will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servant. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when we read the Psalms, it just gets our heart on focus where we need to be. Powerful stuff. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. You know, I got done with this about 2 o'clock in the morning, so I hope that it's a blessing to you as it is to me. Starting in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read all the way to verse 10. Now, this is talking about you, by the way, Christians. So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We just read that. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. To offer sacrifice, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they were as they were destined to. But, I love that word, but. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know, I was thinking about I was going to write a sermon about the advent of Christ, about the coming of Christ. It's appropriate this time of year. But the Holy Spirit directed me to here. And so I want to talk about that. How many people really understand what we just read? I mean, really? I mean, do you really understand it? You might have an idea about what it's about to you, but you really understand. And we're going to try to tear that down a little bit so we can see that. Peter is making the use of the Old Testament, as we see in verse 6 and the following. As verse 6 goes, we see that this is out of the Old Testament. So he uses the Old Testament. And I want to bring you back to verse 2. Let's take a look at verse 2, because this is the whole crutch of this a sampling of God's Word. And not even read the whole thing. It's like newborn infants. And that, now this is where I really want you to pay attention. Long for the pure spiritual milk. Now this right here is the whole foundation of what we just read. It's vital to the whole thing here. And we're going to break this down and we're going to see it. This verb is long for. That's a verb. For those who know your English, and this verb is an imperative verb, and imperative verbs are commands. So Peter is commanding us here. He's commanding us. He commands us, and it reads, "Long for the pure spiritual milk." This is the main thrust of the passage. It is a command to desire what? Long for, to desire Scripture. Peter says, desire the Scripture. Desire the Word of God. It's a command. This has always been the mark for those who love God. By the way, it's your desire for Scripture. This is your mark. You can't get enough of it. You long for it. When it's not around you, you still long for the Scripture. You can't wait to drive it, get into it. It's a mark for those who love God and desire His Word. Those who are in Christ long for the Scripture. Jesus says in John 8, "He who is of God hears the Word." He also says in the same chapter, "He who is of God not only hears God's Word, but he keeps God's Word." Paul expresses the love of God and of God's Word in Romans 7:22 when he says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." It's not external. It comes from here, that longing for. Job expresses his love for God in Job 23:12 when he states, "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food." The psalmist states in Psalm 1, verse 2, "Godly man is blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law he meditates day and night." Also in Psalms 19, verse 10, the psalmist tells of his love for God. God's word, like the more to be desired they are than gold. God's word is sweeter than honey. This is the believer's exercising his love, his own heart for the love of God. He longs for God. It is not something that opposes on him from the outside. My longing for God isn't because somebody comes up and tells me I need a longing for God. It doesn't come from the outside. My longing for what Peter's saying, it comes from the inside. You're driven from the inside. It rises up from within and in him and from the inside. The love for Scripture, a delight for the Scripture, a craving for the Word of God, to know God through His Word, is what Peter is commanding us to do. The love for Scripture, to know God. Let's look back at the main statement in verse 2 again. That word long for, some might have desire for in your Bibles. The long for is pure spiritual milk. Again, that long for, that desire for, is a desire or a craving for. That's what Peter says. That's what you ought to have. You ought to have a craving for the Word. a longing for it. This verb, long for, reflects an ever-occurring passion, an unmet desire, a longing that melts away everything in its path for the Word of God. The world means nothing. I don't long for the world. I long for God's Word. That's how I can... Well, I don't want to get into that. Peter is demanding that it is a consuming craving. For what? For something that is pure in the midst of the world of impurity. We long for something that is pure in the midst of this world that is full of impurity. In a world of corruption. In a world of contaminating things, which the evil heart lusts for. We all know this story of the evil heart and how it lusts for things of the world. There's no longing for God's Word there. For the Christian, though, we long for God's Word, not the contaminating things of this world. Peter calls for this singular, pure craving for God's Word, uncontaminated. He calls this the pure spiritual milk. Longing for pure spiritual milk, this uncontaminated Word. So what is this milk? What is this? It is the milk of the Word, the milk of the Logos. In this content, it can be translated as reasonable service, a longing for the reasonable service, or spiritual service, a longing to serve spiritually. But in the original translation of this word, you go back into the Greek, and this is what kind of got me off a little bit. I went back and took a look about this word long for, or this word milk, and I couldn't understand it. And so the original translation translated this way. This word is one of belonging to speech. Now, hang on to that. I know that's kind of confusing right now, but we're going to clear that up. What Peter's talking about here, we need to go back a little bit to in the chapter. Go to chapter 1 and verse 23 of the chapter 1 ends with, and abiding in the Word of God, and then in the Word of the Logos of God. And then it starts in verse 24. And I love this. We all know this. All flesh is like the grass, and all its glory is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. That speech, that longing, that belonging, that speech endures forever. It was the Lord remains for every believer. It's this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, long for the pure milk of the Word. Every week, pastor gets up here or somebody gets up here and preaches the spiritual milk to you. Every week, or you do it on your own. And you do it, you long for it, and you do that. It's pure spiritual milk. That's what that means. Peter doesn't command his readers to read, as Paul does, the Word. He doesn't command them. Now, this is kind of interesting. Here, Peter doesn't command his readers to read the Word. Paul does in 1 Timothy 4. He doesn't command them to study the Word, as Paul does in 1 Timothy 2. Or to meditate on the Word. He doesn't say that. As in Psalm 19, he doesn't command him to teach the Word, as Paul did in 1 Timothy 4. He doesn't command him to preach the Word, as they were told in 2 Timothy 4. Peter doesn't command us to search the Word, as is told in Acts 17. He doesn't tell us to wield the Word, as in Ephesians 6. He doesn't say to hide the Word, as it does in Psalms 19:11. Don't get me wrong, all these are essential. But the foundation to all these things, searching, the whole foundation to everyone that I just said, to command, to read, to study, It all comes from this, a longing for the Word. All of it. That's what Peter says. He says, long for that Word. This is the foundational component to desire it, to desire the Word of God. Peter chooses a simple example, as he says, to long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word like newborn babies. Now, let me just stop right there and let's talk about newborn babies. Newborn babies crave milk, and that's the only thing they crave. They only crave milk, newborns. You, moms, grandpas, and grandmas, you care about the color of the blanket. They don't. You care about the crib. That newborn, it doesn't. You care about the color of the curtains. They don't. You care about the cute little outfits. They could care less. They don't scream because they're offended with the color of their pajamas. They don't scream because they don't like it. They scream because they want milk. That's what they want. That's what they desire. It's amazing that everything about a baby is wonderful, gentle, wonderfully soft, cuddly, inviting. Everything is wonderful except their voice. Which is almost completely alien about them. How can that child scream like that? It's necessary. You're not going to forget to feed them. They scream because they want milk. They want it. They desire it. They long for it. That's why they scream. This is the illusion that draws Peter's focus upon this. He draws the focus. I know. I ask myself as well as I ask you, do we have anything remotely like this kind of craving for the Word of God in you? Do you crave the Word of God like this young baby, that newborn, craves milk? Do you do that? That's what Peter's asking the question here. Do we get to the place that we desire the Word of God more than we do necessary food? If you had a plate of food and a scripture, would you pick up the plate? Or would you pick up the scripture? Well, you go, well, I already ate, so I'll pick up the scripture. I'm not talking about that. What would you do? Would you desire the Word more than you would food? It's a longing for. If we had a choice, what would it be? This is not out of some religious duty or compulsion that we long for the Word. Oh, I've got to do that because I'm a Christian and I have to do my duty. Mm-mm. No. This is something that should rise out of our heart, the way that a longing rises out of a baby. That longing that rises from that baby to be fed, that should be the same in our spiritual life. It should rise from inside, wanting to be fed the spiritual milk. We are not receiving the Word. When we are not receiving the Word, do you cry out for it? Do you go, man, I missed the Word. Man, there's something missing. You know what's missing? I haven't looked at my scriptures this week. Do you cry for that? Or you just go throughout your week and never look at the Word? Do you long for the Word? Everything that we read, preach, teach, study, meditate in Scripture is designed to be poured out in our lives. Everything we do here, everything we read, should reflect in our lives. It's all about accepting and desiring the Word of God so it can do its work. Peter wants us to help us. You know, by the way, Peter, we sometimes forget that these apostles were ordinary men, called by God, just like you, for a special purpose. But they were ordinary. They were just like us. Sometimes we put them up on pedestals, and we shouldn't do that in a sense. Yes, they were called. They had a mighty job to do. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter lays out elements that are part of the craving for this word. Okay, we're going to get into this, and we're going to take a look at the elements of this craving. Remember your life source. Look at verse 22 of chapter 1. Take a look at that. Chapter 1, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, a sincere brotherly love, a love for one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not perishable seed, but an imperishable, through the living and abiding, here it is, Word of God. Since you're purified your souls in obeying the truth, having purified your souls. How do we purify our soul? Well, he says, remember, that is our life source as a Christian. Our souls have been purified by the Word. Longing for that Word. Obeying the truth. Without the Word of God, we're doomed. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've had people argue with me. I mean, flat argue with me when I make that statement. Without the Word of God, I'm not even going to say you. I'm going to point myself. I am doomed. I am condemned. Remember what John said? This is the testimony. I have written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. God blesses us with eternal life. And that life is in His Son. If you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. You know it because of the Word. The Word is of God is our life source. We have been regenerated by the Word. It's the very source of our salvation. The Word is the seed that has given us life. Praise God. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is the living Word. Life itself. Without it, we don't have life. We're doomed. Remember your life source. Your life source. Remember that. It is the living Word. It is the very breath of God. It is alive because God, our God, is alive. And it generates eternal life through His power. So that you may know that you have eternal life. It only comes from the longing for the spiritual milk that's already in you. You read this book and you will be given a life by believing in His name, I guarantee it. It gave you life. There's a second element that Peter points to, the element of your sin, eliminating your sin. Okay? We've given ourselves, so how do we grow? How do we continue? How do we regenerate? Well, we're regenerated. Now we've got to eliminate our sin. Take a look at your life and start shedding the things that laying aside. Take a look at verse 1 of chapter 2. So put away all malice and deceit, hypocrisy and evil, and all slander. Put them off. Get rid of them. Lay them aside. This word is like the tearing things off, stripping them off. This verb of putting away. It's like, get rid of them. They're no longer needed in my life. Examples. Here it is. I'm going to give you an example. In the early Christians, very early on, the Christians would come to be baptized. And these Christians would wear their filthy garments, their filthy clothes. And they would come and they would be baptized in the water. And as soon as they were baptized, they would go to another room and remove their clothing, their dirty, filthy rags, and put on clean attire, the stripping off. It was a symbolized of the new self. Remember, you're born, you're new. You're a new creator, you're a new creature. Get rid of all that, Peter says. You want to grow? Let's get rid of that. That's what he's telling us. The components of the old life need to be thrown off. They need to be shed. They otherwise will spoil your spiritual appetite. You know that? You hang on to that old stuff, that old sin, and it's going to spoil your wanting and your longing for the pure milk. It's going to spoil it. Because the world and the devil is pretty powerful and he knows what he's doing. We got to get rid of it. You want to grow? Say, have you ever told yourself, I'm just stuck here. I can't grow. I don't think I'm growing anymore. Have you stripped off everything that's holding you back? That's what Peter's asking us right here. Get it away. Put it away, he says. Remove it from you. Because your spiritual appetite is going to be hindered. This goes all for all sin. And all is repeated. That word all, by the way, look at that. Look at that. Put away all malice, all deceit, and all slander. That word all is repeated 3 times in that little verse. You think Peter's trying to tell us something? Yeah, get rid of it. All of it. Malice and wickedness is open sin. By the way, malice, if I do something wickedness and wicked to somebody, it's out in the open. Everybody can see it. But this next one, look at the next one. Deceit. Boy, that one there. That one there. Deceit is a hidden sin. How you deceitfully move around to deceit somebody without them knowing it. You're creating sin and it's hidden. Peter says, get rid of that. It's a secret sin, deceit is. Hypocrisy, that's phoniness. Get rid of the phoniness. Are you phony? Get rid of it. Envy, wanting what others have. We all know that envy, don't we? I'm going to tell you, when I talk about these things, brothers and sisters, I'm not pointing the fingers at you. When I talk about deceit and malice and envy and hypocrisy, I'm pointing at myself. Envy. Want what others have, resenting their status and their situation and opportunity. Get rid of envy. Rejoice in what God has given you. Then all evil speech and slander. That's what it says. All slander, evil speech, gossip. Peter says, get rid of that. How can you grow in the spiritual milk? How can you long for God's word if you're still dealing with that? And I'm guarantee you everybody deals with one of those in this room. I guarantee you. Cry out to God. Remove it. This repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit. He'll remove it. If you cry to God to have it removed, and I've had a lot of stories by brothers and sisters in this room, how they cried out to God, and they needed help, and they cried out to God, and God heard them. Not only heard them, He seen them, and He acted upon that. And when you read that all the way through the Scriptures, God hears you. God sees you. Does He see us right now? You betcha He does. Is He pleased that we're here worshiping Him and going over? Absolutely. Don't you ever think that God doesn't see you. Because if you do, you're lying to yourself. The Scripture, over and over and over, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way to the very end, tells us that God sees us and He hears us. As Christians, we need to boldly admit our need for the Word. I need the Word every day in my life, brothers and sisters. I need it. Without it, I have no life. Is Peter talking about the new believer here? We said the spiritual milk, longing for the spiritual milk. Well, people go, well, that's the new believer. That ain't what Peter's talking about here. See, we get confused here. And I know this because I went for a long time believing this was a new believer. Uh-uh. He's not talking about the new believer here. Peter's talking, this is an analogy that Peter's using. He's saying every believer all the time should be craving for the Word of God as a baby craves for milk. That's what he's saying. Peter's talking about the milk of the word opposed to the meat of the word. Is he talking about that, the milk of the word opposed to the meat? No, Peter's not even talking about that either. As 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the milk advancing to the meat, the spiritual meat. He's not talking about that here. Get away from those metaphors because they're going to mess you up here. Peter's not talking about that. This is crystal clear. Just as a newborn craves milk, the Christian should crave the Word of God. It's pretty simple. Do you cry for the Word? We have a desperate need for the Word. I hope your need for that Word is desperate. It's desperate. I hope that you crave that Word every day. Without the feeding of the Word, we have a lot of our churches and a lot of Christians who are not being fed the Word from the pulpit or from the churches. And we have a lot of weak churches and we have a lot of weak Christians because they're not being fed the Word. Stay in the Word. You want to get strong in the Lord? Stay in His Word. You want to know who God is? Stay in His Word. Get rid of all that other stuff that's going to put blockage to that. God tells us that we don't live by bread alone. But I want you to say this verse along with me. We do not live by bread alone, but by... Whew, okay, we need to do some more studying. That's good, though. You're right. Let me tell you what it says. It says, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. Praise God. So, remember your life source, eliminate your sins, and admit your needs, and pursue your growth. I'm sure of this. Let me say, all of you who are 100% content where you are spiritually, please stand up. If you're 100% continually where you're at without any growth in your life, please stand up. Because I want to see a perfect person. Because I can tell you, I am not content in my spiritual growth. I'm not. And I don't think any of us really are content to where we don't need any more God. We know it all. I don't know that person. But I enjoy your enthusiasm. I don't know anybody who's 100% of their spirit content. I don't know them. We all know that we're not, and we need to look at the end of verse 2 there in 2 Peter. Look at the end of it. That by this you may grow up into salvation. That you may grow up into it. Desire for pure milk of the word that you may grow. You need to grow. You grow by the word. You feed by the word like a baby feeds by milk. It should be a desire for us. That's what Peter's telling us here. Desire that word. We are children. We start out as spiritual children. You know that? When we start in our walk, we start as spiritual children. And then we become spiritual fathers. Who not only know the word, I got a little ahead of myself. We start out as spiritual children, and then we become spiritual young men. And now this is, this is, includes you, but I'm just using the men metaphor. We become spiritual young men, strong in the word, because we're growing, because we long and we desire for God's word. And then we become spiritual fathers who not only know the Word, but we know the God who is behind the Word. We come to know the One who is from the beginning. We know Him because of that longing for that Word. Spiritual growth is a desire for a deeper understanding of the Bible. Amen? When we grow in the Word, we grow in our understanding of God's Word. And then we grow in our understanding of who He is. And we grow in our understanding of how He loves us and how He cares for us. We have a deeper understanding of the things of God. Our worship, when we grow and we desire and we long for that spiritual word, our worship gets deeper. Our understanding of God gets deeper. Our delight deepens. Our love for God is greater. We get to know God. This is a revelation of God. We get to, the Word reveals who God is to us. Our faith is strengthened. I trust Him. I trust Him. Praise God. My obedience is stronger. Pursue your growth. Don't stop. Pursue it. Pursue your mercies are new every morning. Survey your blessings. If indeed you have trusted the Lord, that the Lord is gracious, reflect what God has done and what He's doing and what He's going to do. We have tasted the goodness of the Lord. So stay in that presence. And I'm going to finish up right here in verse 4 and 5, and we'll finish up. Look at verses 4 and 5. As you come to Him, I could stop right there and I could preach a whole sermon on that one right there. I could do it right there. As you come to Him. A living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Now Peter points his finger to you now. This you here is a singular you, and it is like he's pointing his finger right at you as you read this as they write this in the Greek. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a holy priesthood. All of us. Being built up. Be in the very presence of the Lord. We're coming to Him. We are precious and chosen, and we are made in His image. Praise God. Remember that spiritual milk. Long for it. Desire for it. Crave it. Get away all the malice and put all away all those things that drag you down. And long for God's Word all the days of your life. I don't care if you're 10 or 99 years old. You long for God's Word all the days of your life. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Oh, Father, I thank You for the opportunity to come before You, Lord. And as we gather for communion, Lord, we want to remember what You've done. And remember that as we desire You, Lord. Lord, my prayer is that for each of us, including myself, our desire will grow more and more, and we will long for, like a newborn baby longs for milk. That will be us longing for God, longing for Your Word, Father. And through Your Holy Spirit, You have made that possible. Praise God. I ask a blessing on each one here. And as we come to communion, Father, may You be greatly praised and honored through this act of communion. We ask these things in Your Son's holy name, in the name of our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who are helping with communion, will you please come forward? You know, this is Advent week, and as we grow closer and closer to the celebration, if the whole world shuts down, whether they believe in Christ or not, but there's Christians all through the world, and they shut down to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior and what He's done for us. That's what this is about. We long for this. I hope you long for communion. This is part of the spiritual milk that God has given us. So as we partake in this communion, I would ask if you just stop for a minute and long for your Father. He's not very far away. In fact, He sees you right now, and He hears you. So as we come into worship of communion, well, just make your heart right. Pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious God, may You be greatly praised and honored as we commit with this communion. We celebrate you, Father. We celebrate the work of the cross that has given us life. As John said, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. We celebrate this life, Father, this eternal life that you have given us. Father, be with us as we partake. And all God's children said, amen. Please wait until everyone is served. I have to get my notes because I'm not profane in the word, but let me read this to you. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Lord. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. But do this in remembrance of me." There was a reason why Christ came. He came for you. Break and eat with me, please. Thank you. Scripture talks about doing communion and doing the ordinance in an unworthy manner. You know, God also tells us that through the remission of, or through the shedding of Christ's blood and the remission of sins, we have eternal life. Christ went to the cross for eternal life so that you may have eternal life. He did that because he loved you. And as we partake of this cup, I want to bless it first, and then we'll partake of the cup and remember. Well, Heavenly Father, this is the blood of the covenant, the new covenant, that there is life in this. And as we partake in this ordinance today, Father, we remember what you have done. We long for what you have done in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the incredible sacrifice that you gave your Son so that we may have life. We have never forgot that. May you be greatly praised and honored in all that we do. And he gave it to them and he said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remissions of sins." Please partake with me. So remember, as you head out today, remember what God has done for you. Long for that. Keep it here. When you find yourself down a little bit, long for God's word, and he will lift you up. Amen. All go in peace. May God bless you this week, and may his praises and his presence be continually with you always. God bless each of you. Thank you for letting me do this. You are dismissed. Thank you. Thank you.